Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. It is time for Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Our author is Stella Morabito, and she has numerous articles on the social fallout of propaganda, mob psychology, and the cult mindset. And she is a senior contributor at one of the sites that, of course, I cite quite often on this show, and that is The Federalist. And the book is The Weaponization of Loneliness: How Tyrants Stoke Our Fear of Isolation to Silence, Divide, and Conquer. And I just think this is so timely. I really, really appreciate you being with us this morning. And I can't tell you how many subject matters that we discuss where so much of it is about how it is that they attempt to silence critics, to keep them from talking and giving their thoughts just what a horrible thing. And I think I overplay it because it just seems like it's a violation of humanity in some capacity. And so I appreciate the book. I appreciate you joining us this morning. If you would, tell us a little bit about why you wrote the book.
Okay, first, thank you so much, Nick, for having me on. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk about these things because I think they're so critical. I wrote the book because I felt it was really necessary for people to have a very clear idea of the dynamics and the patterns of the war on freedom and to understand how intensely personal that war is. When we are silenced or when we feel silenced, that's really a war on conversation, which ultimately is a war on private life and private relationships, because when you can't speak openly, when you don't feel you can speak openly to people, you can't really develop relationships. And this is not a new thing. This is a very old thing. First of all, as human beings, we're social animals. I think we all know that, or we instinctively understand that. We absolutely need connection with other people. And we're hardwired for that. And so whenever that's threatened, whenever we feel that that's threatened, we go into some kind of conformity mold. We go into a mode of self-censorship if we're fearful of being ostracized for just expressing something that's on our mind. And, you know, when that happens, that kind of self-censorship really does all the heavy lifting and gives all the oxygen to all of the destructive agendas throughout history. And, you know, it's what I call a machinery of loneliness that's, you know, in operation by tyrants. Whether they know consciously or not that they're doing it, they instinctively understand that by driving wedges between us, the best way to do that is to make us fearful of being rejected. And so they use these, what I call the machinery of loneliness, and includes things like identity politics and other components like political correctness and the mob mindset and even the criminalization of comedy. And all of these things operate to, you know, cause us to self-censor. And once we start doing that, then we open the door to top-down censorship. And it's really a war to atomize us, to really isolate us, which is really ironic because, you know, we think we're getting relief from isolation by shutting up about what we believe when really we're driving ourselves into further isolation as a society.
Yeah, we find over the past several years in particular, there's just been a very, it's just such a profound effort by people that I see primarily on the left to sort of, you know, do the name calling, particularly political context, fascist and so forth. And I oftentimes think, I don't think that word means what you think it means because of the way that it's used. But yeah. This isn't new, what's going on. And so people know much of your background, an analyst with the CIA, and what you focused on were methods of communist media propaganda and disinformation. And so some of what your book focuses on here is that this really is nothing new necessarily.
Oh, no. I mean, I trace it back to the French Revolution. Central to all of this is, you know, all of these components in the machinery of loneliness, political correctness and identity politics and all that stuff to separate us. Central to all of it is demonization campaigns, the demonization campaign that makes great use of the smear And you know, the word fascist is just one of many. I mean, you hear bigot, racist, homophobe, various forms of phobe, you know, which is supposed to, you know, draw out that you're crazy or something like that, which is central to gaslighting. But, you know, even now you get terms like election denier, climate denier, anti-vaxxer. I mean, they're just a bunch of smears. There's never an attempt to persuade. It's all coercion through the smear that triggers our intense, very primal, very natural fear of being isolated and being rejected. And so the problem is, if we keep complying with that, if we keep giving in to that, we really are going to lose our freedom. I mean, free speech is use it or lose it. And, you know, some folks are more able to take risks and express openly what they believe. And those people should, you know, who are equipped and able, should lead the way and, you know, just help to embolden others who really do feel the same way, but are just too afraid to say so.
We're talking with our author of the week, Stella Morabito. The book is The Weaponization of Loneliness. One of the shifts in our society that seemed to be pretty profound in this context to me was this shift when it came to the issue of race. And I grew up at a time where we talked about colorblindness and not judging a book by its cover, to where it is now, if you believe that, that's proof, if you are white anyhow, that you are racist. And so really what appears to me is they have created a scenario where some of us, there, it's impossible not to be segregated, because no matter what our position is, we either accept that we are isolated away from society because of our attitudes, or if we don't, that's proof that we are not accepting of the reality around us.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. This is probably one of the most insidious, most really disgusting ways that identity politics is working right now, is to try to erase or to get rid of our ability to see another person as just an individual human being, just somebody who's had their own experiences, their sufferings, their sense of humor, their own unique personality. We're not allowed to see that in anybody anymore if you accept these tenets of identity politics that include things like critical race theory or gender ideology. None of who you are as a person matters anymore if you accept that. We have to absolutely reject that, and we have to start reaching out and seeing one another as not just colorblind, but just individual human beings, each with their own soul and their own, you know, background and their own personality. And, you know, this separation, this attempt to segregate us and to classify us just according to some kind of demographic, it's so harmful, and it is, you know, it's so destructive. And we give oxygen to that if we comply with it. And that's, you know, that's why I wrote the book, is to help people understand these dynamics, which, as you said, you know, they're not new. They go back, French Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, Russia, with a very blatant war on private life, family relationships, just absolutely targeted those things to turn children against their parents. And we see reflections of that now, you know, when school boards or the teachers unions try to get parents who are concerned about what's going on with their children classified as domestic terrorists. That's another smear. So, yeah, it's a very, very, very slippery slope, and we really have to try to turn this thing around.
Well, I could tell you, it was weeks ago, I came across a piece, and it was either one of your pieces or a piece that was using as a launching point the book Weaponization of Loneliness in the context of kids in school. And it really, that's what I wanted to reach out, because it's something that we talk about quite often here, and we saw it in the capacity of race, and now a lot of times sexuality and transgenderism, where you have kids, and I remember being a kid, and, you know, just oftentimes that overwhelming desire to be accepted, the hurtfulness of not, mm-hmm. and trying to figure out how to be accepted. And then there are these certain avenues that are laid out as celebrated, and you have an entire month, and there are clubs, and you're praised, and just how susceptible young people are to taking a path that otherwise they might not ever even think of, because people that they're told to listen to as authority figures, as counselors or teachers or you know, club leaders are telling you, oh, you know, you're sad, you're confused, you feel lonely, it's because of this, and sometimes horrifically going so far as to telling them you may kill yourself if you don't take this pathway. And I just, you know, well, I know that you write about the lonely puppets and the subversion of education in the book Weaponization of Loneliness.
Oh, yes. No, children are so vulnerable, and they are so susceptible to suggestion. And it is actually criminal that, you know, that any authority figure would suggest to them that they would commit suicide if they didn't, or suggest to their parents that their child would do that if they didn't, you know, put them, take them down that road, which I think is just, well, I think all of us can understand, to reject your own body. I mean, that is so destabilizing.
Right.
And it's criminal. So, you know, you're right. I mean, so much of what happens and has been happening in education is, you know, one of the reasons I wrote The Weaponization of Loneliness is the fallout among youth is, it's been so devastating. And of course, there already is so much brokenness in our society, family brokenness, which, of course, leads to community brokenness. And so that makes children even more susceptible if they don't have strong bonds to fall back on in their faith communities and families. And so all they can look to is their peers and the authority figures in the schools where they're, you know, where they're susceptible to this propaganda for so much of their waking lives.
Final question with our author of the week, Stella Mora Bido. The book is Weaponization of Loneliness, How Tyrants Stroke Our Fear of Isolation to Silence, Divide, and Conquer. I grew up, again, in an era, well, I don't even know if it was an era so much as just my culture, but always just sort of had this affinity for certain things that were about patriotism, and you watch movies like Clancy films with Harrison Ford, and you get this sense of, you know, CIA and FBI, and always had a level of great respect. But I've watched, and it may be my own political bias that I overplay this a little bit in my own mind, where I start to see some of those that you know, were in the CIA and studied, like you, methods of communist media and propaganda and disinformation that get used by media outlets, and then more specifically having over, I think, 51 of these former CIA intelligence individuals that come out and declare that the Hunter Biden laptop story had all the earmarks of propaganda, when that turned out, of course, not to be the case. And it just instilled me with this fear that it's almost like I feel like they've turned against us. Am I overplaying that? And somebody who did what you did within the CIA and studied these things, what has that shift, I suppose, been like for you to observe?
Oh, well, it's just awful, and overplaying it at all. The subversion of our institutions, corruption, the level of corruption, not just in our, you know, our intelligence agencies and our, you know, the governmental institutions, the courts, the legislatures, and now, of course, education and medicine. And, you know, you go through all the institutions, they've been subverted in a way that truly isolates us. And it does absolutely, Nick seems correct, that they have turned against us. And, you know, including the corporate world and our banking system, everything. So I think, and I wrote the book, The Weaponization of Loneliness, because I felt that we need to understand that there is a common denominator, a common thread that ties all of these dangerous and destructive agendas together. And, you know, we could play whack-a-mole with each one of them forever, but what we really need to do is understand that the underlying common denominator that allows them oxygen is our level of self-censorship that's triggered by that fear of being ostracized by the smear and the demonization campaigns. But, yes, I was there, but it was a long time ago. I mean, I was there in the Reagan era. However, I will tell you that the leftism had already started to really permeate, and I could see it around me, sort of a faculty lounge attitude among a lot of the analysts. So not all of them, of course, a lot of them very patriotic still, but it was already, there was already that sense of infiltration. But yes, the way to fight this is to understand and become aware of these dynamics that play on and exploit this very natural human fear of isolation.
Our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Stella Morabito, The Weaponization of Loneliness, How Tyrants Stroke Our Fear of Isolation to Silence, Divide, and Conquer. On Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.